streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical. Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Today's Tuesday, December the 17th, 2024. And in studio with me is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Howdy there, Tim.
Good morning, Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And in Kansas City, Kansas, is our good friend Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Welcome home.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
I say welcome home to the mainland here, to the U.S. You and y'all went on, you and Marlene went on a little trip, right?
Yeah, we in August we celebrated our 50th anniversary, but schedule was too busy, and so you know to take a trip. But we took a cruise about a week and a half ago, a 10-day cruise from Miami down through the Caribbean and through the Panama Canal, and flew back from Panama City, Panama to Miami and back home. Let's put it this way, Tim. Cruise things aside, a week ago yesterday on the cruise ship in the Panama Canal, it was about 90 degrees. It was T-shirts and shorts weather. Mm-hmm. And this morning in Kansas City, it's 27 degrees. As we say, I do not receive that.
Right. Big difference. Well, let me ask you this. So you went from you boarded in Miami.
That's right.
And then we went from where to where? Do you mind telling?
Miami to the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Very nice. Then Curacao, which is down near Venezuela. Beautiful. The Dutch settled those islands. And then Aruba, also very nice. And then we sailed on over to the Panama Canal. And, you know, I just got to say, Marlene and I have been cruising six or seven times, but this by far, was the most amazing experience. Mm-hmm. to go through those locks. Our cruise ship went through the locks that were built in 1910, 11, 12, and dedicated in 1914, 110 years old.
Wow.
Working as perfectly today as they did back then. And it took us 10 hours, Tim. 44 miles took us 10 hours to go from the east side to the west side, from the Atlantic to the Pacific. And you get into those locks and you see the water rising you up, and then on the backside of it, another lock, you coming down, you see the water going down. It's one of the wonders of the modern world. And the only other thing I would say is the next day, our last day, we took the Panama Canal Railway from the west side back to the east side, and that's cut right through the jungle. And that's the closest you can get to what it was 120 years ago. And you just think to yourself, 20,000, 30,000, nobody really knows, 20 to 30,000 workers died because of, you know, yellow fever, malaria, hacking their way through the swamps and through the jungle. It's a miraculous thing to go through the Panama Canal. It is one of the wonders of the modern world. Let me say to all of our friends, if you're thinking about going on a cruise, that's a good one.
That would be, I'd love to see that. Have you ever been there, Fred, or?
I've been to Panama, never through the canal, though. But Ray was talking to us a little earlier this morning. The wait to get through, because so many ships are in line to go through that. And you had to wait. Your ship had to wait quite a while, didn't it?
As we came up on the Atlantic side, and it was before dawn, okay? So, because we started to go through just about as the sun was coming up. But you could see the lights stretching out into the Atlantic Ocean. Those weren't lights from the shore. Those were ships that were lined up as far as the eye could see to go through from east to west. And then when you get to the west side, you see all these containers, a lot of them from China and from Asia, who have made the journey over. So you got to get your place in line, and there's somebody behind you, and there's a great big ship in front of you. And I don't know what they do if somebody breaks down in the lock. I mean, maybe that happens sometimes, but you got to get your place.
How many miles is it from one side to the other?
About 44 miles.
Said that. I'm sorry. So 40 miles. Now, okay, so is it, sorry for my ignorance here, is it one way or is it, are there, is it two lanes?
It's two way. The locks they built 110 years ago are two way. So as we're coming through from west east.
Okay.
And Tim, the clearance is about 4 feet. About 4 feet between the side of the ship and the side of the lock.
Keep your arm inside the ship at all times.
That's exactly right. And then there's another huge container ship coming through from the other direction.
So before that, before the Panama Canal was built, then the ships, such that they were and that they tried, had to go down on the tip of South America, right?
That's exactly right. That was the only way. If you started in New York and you were going to San Francisco, you were going to make a 15,000-mile trip down to the bottom. What is the Cape? Is it Cape Horn? I'm not.
I think you're right. It's on the. Is it Argentina down there at the tip?
That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
You got to go down around that Cape, and then you got to come up the other side.
Yeah, you're not too far from the South Pole.
No, you're not.
When you get down there that far. Well, you're right. That, think about it. That's probably one of the greatest inventions, not the right word exactly, but
engineering feats.
Yeah, in the certainly in the 20th century.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it was built 1910.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. And you know, and it's still working. I wonder if they built it today, whether they'd be that successful.
I'm going to say no, because we have to. My generation has to look up YouTube for everything on how to build something.
YouTube.
They had to make the measurements down there by hand, right? And they didn't have computers and phones and all the stuff we just take for granted.
Wow. Yeah.
They had to write the stuff down. Had to ship it up to the foundries, say in West Virginia and Pittsburgh, and then the big parts of the locks and all that had to be assembled, disassembled, shipped down, reassembled. And they had to work perfectly, and they did from day one.
Wow.
Yeah, glad I wasn't on that committee. I said, fellas,
it's not happening.
This ain't going to happen, my friends. Let's just all go home. But to the credit of that generation, it was probably an international accomplishment, although probably Americans played a big part in it, wow. So then you got on an airplane, flew back to Miami, and flew back to Kansas City.
That's exactly right.
I got you. All right. Well, welcome home. That is quite a journey y'all went on there to celebrate your 50th wedding anniversary. Chris, what's leading the news?
Well, while we're praising God for Ray's safe return, we need to lift up our fellow Americans in Madison, Wisconsin. And I say that because yesterday there was a school shooting at a Christian school in Wisconsin in the Madison area. This is the Abundant Life Christian School, and authorities have identified the shooter as a 15-year-old girl by the name of Natalie Rupnow. Police say she killed a teacher and a teenager before turning the gun on herself. She also wounded six others in Monday's shooting at Abundant Life Christian School. Tim, this broke really right after the show ended and dominated the news cycle for the rest of the today. Obviously, it's still
yesterday,
a story.
Yesterday, you mean?
Yes,
the show
sir.
Ended yesterday? Mm-hmm. So you have how many dead?
Two people dead as of right now, but there are six wounded, two of them in critical condition.
Well, do we know why the young lady did that?
We do not know exactly why. There has been a lot of speculation on places like X, formerly known as Twitter. Andy Ngo he's a journalist, freelance journalist. Andy Ngo was among the first, if not the first, reporters out there to identify the shooter. And he said at that time, quote, "The shooter does not identify as trans." That was one of the knee-jerk reactions that people had yesterday, that maybe this young lady was upset about something being at the Christian school there and wanted to retaliate.
Yeah.
Steve Dace did respond to those reports today on Jenna Ellis in the Morning, and Steve Dace told Jenna, "I'm not going there yet with the trans issue." Clip two.
I am not going to rule out yet a trans connection. I'm well aware of Andy's work. He's done a lot of great work, but no human is infallible. Someone I know who is one of the board members at Moms for Liberty lives in Wisconsin, has published some information that seems to indicate the opposite of that. So I think either way. Well, number one, I think given the trend line we have seen with trans terrorism, I think we are probably just better off assuming that that is the case as a default until they prove otherwise, especially because we just know authorities lie about this. Madison, Wisconsin is the most left-wing enclave in that entire state. Yesterday, a police spokesman went in front of a camera and said he could not confirm the gender of the shooter. So even, I mean, literally, you could just look at the shooter's dead body and confirm a gender, unless you're assuming that there are things that could be done to alter someone's gender, and therefore that you're buying into that premise, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Now, I'm not saying it was a trans issue. I'm just presenting it as the news guy here. That is one of the thoughts out there today.
Well, it's sad and tragic, whatever the case may be. But, you know, you live, as I said before, you live in a country of 340 million people. You know, bad things are going to happen, even in the safest environment sometimes, Fred.
Yeah, we've a number of reports yesterday. The school practiced regular responses to these kinds of things. In fact, the first responders were practicing at a place not far from this school when the call came into 911. By the way, I think it was a little girl in grade two at the school called 911.
Yeah.
So they had practiced these procedures. But, you know, as Chris mentioned, it is a Christian school, Abundant Life Christian School, and the director at the school is a woman by the name of Barbara Weirs, I believe it is, and she had this to say last evening, cut number one.
We also have a very strong faith in our community that in spite of tragedy, God is working, and we believe that God is good in everything and that he turns beauty for ashes. I had a number of families who mentioned that to me, that this wasn't a surprise to God and that he's going to do something mighty with it. And so we're holding on to those words and we're continuing to believe and trust in him.
So as Chris said, we need to remember these folks in prayer today. It's a large Christian school, 420, I think, mm-hmm. students at this Christian school. It is K through, I think, grade 12. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And well-established. We don't know yet the motivation behind why this young lady, 15 years old, would do this. There's some indication that the two that she killed were targeted. It was a teacher and another student, and then the shooter turned the gun on herself. So this will come out in time, I believe, as to what the motivation was. But as Steve Dace was saying, if it was trans, if it was, as was the case up in Nashville at that Christian school back a few years ago, authorities are likely to try to hide that as a motivation, if indeed that is the case.
Right. It just seems to me that, of course, we don't know the whole story here, as Fred's talking about. We'll know more in the coming days. But oftentimes the parents, guardians, the friends, they know something's up.
Right.
With somebody who's trouble. They say things.
Right.
They, you know what I'm saying? They write things.
Sure.
Their personality changes. There's a tip off. Go ahead.
Well, one of the questions that's hanging out here, a 15-year-old girl.
Right.
How'd she get the weapon?
You never hear of a girl doing that anyway.
No, it's unusual situation, yeah. Right? Very unusual. How did she get the gun?
Right.
How did she get a gun and the ammo without her parents knowing about
right.
it? There's some broken pieces here that we don't know. I did a little investigation into this school. It's a highly regarded school. It's, as Fred, as you said, 400 students. And there are, someone said, virtually every church in Madison would have had a student or two in that school. So there's a great need for prayer. And a lot of unanswered questions, but I want to know how did her parents not know anything? Did all
right.
this happen under their nose and they saw nothing at all?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of unanswered questions that probably be answered in the next few days. So.
You know, and as I guess we have come to expect, Democrats, including the White House, reacting to this, went right to the old gun violence. that we need more gun laws. Without an investigation to try to figure out why this 15-year-old girl did this, they go right to, this problem would be resolved if we had stricter gun laws.
Well, you can't take guns to school. It's against the law. We have gun laws.
Yes.
But it's already illegal.
Right. It's already illegal.
Yes. And that's
so,
the point.
What more do you want?
Yeah.
What more do you want?
And she used a 9mm pistol.
It's also illegal to kill people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. So, I mean, she violated multiple laws that are already on the books.
Yes.
Unless you want just a complete police state like China, a communist police state, then if you're going to live in freedom, then you're going to have, you know, you're going to have things happen sometimes that we regret seeing, I guess I should say. But yeah, she already violated several laws, the killer did. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's the name of that school? We can't
Abundant Life Christian School.
Mm-hmm. Established 1978.
How many students, by the way? 400, I think I read.
Just over 400.
That's the first. Well, now you had the shooting. The Nashville shooting was in a Christian school, right?
That is 2023. Correct.
But that was a young woman who was getting who had gone to that school 10 years ago or so,
right?
And was acting out her hatred toward Christians. Is that right?
That is what we know.
The police held the manifesto forever.
Yes,
forever. And that was a huge issue. Why aren't they telling us?
Because they didn't want it didn't fit the narrative,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't want the public to know.
That's
the only thing I can think of.
Many of the Democrats that run out there and say we need to take all the guns, we need gun control, all these things. Many of these same people are completely fine with abortion and killing a baby just because it's a mere inconvenience.
I would just say this about the quote gun control issue: we have all the laws we need on the books right now, probably too many. And I'm talking about relative to guns, okay? So to me, when these liberals and these Democrats start talking about gun control after every shooting that happens, it's like that's a fantasy. To me, that they're living in a fantasy world,
uh-huh.
because what they're suggesting, this is my opinion, is never going to happen, okay? Americans, the vast majority of Americans disagree with that view of taking everybody's guns up. Now they would say, most of them would say, we're not talking about taking everybody's guns up. We're talking about, controlling gun shows and, having registration and all these kinds of things. But the ultimate objective is to be like other countries around the world where you just don't have guns at all, and that's just not going to happen in America, never will. And so when they do these trite we need gun control after every incident, every shooting, it's just water off a duck's back. It doesn't mean anything.
No,
quite frankly,
but they're playing to their audience,
right?
Folks on the left.
Right. Well, move to a state just go ahead and move to a state that has the strictest gun controls ever, which I imagine Wisconsin has some pretty strict gun controls.
No,
huh? But California and New York, just move there.
Yeah.
There's no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another thing, and I mentioned this before, these same people, when police are involved in a shooting and the police use their guns, these same people don't say, well, we got to stop gun violence. No, they say, we got to defund the police.
Uh-huh.
So I want to say, well, which is it? Is it the individual pulling the trigger, or is it the gun gets up in the morning and says, I'm going to find somebody to shoot?
Yeah.
Because these same people want to exonerate, the thugs out on the street who are using guns in Chicago and New York. Oftentimes they want to say that's gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
But when the police are involved, they say, no, that's police pulling the trigger violence. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Police involved shooting.
So which is it? One is it? All right, so you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Chris.
The mystery continues over those drones.
The drone mystery continues?
It does. And part of the reason why it's a mystery is because we have people in the federal government telling us things like, there's nothing to see here. For example, John Kirby oftentimes trucked out there for a spokesman for Joe Biden, basically said, there's nothing to see here, folks. Clip 10.
You hear all of these officials. You've heard a lot of concern, a lot of coverage. Where are you tonight on this?
As we look at the information we've got, Brett, and we've now examined some 5,000 different sightings, we've added detection capabilities, additional observers. As you and I stand here today, to date, our assessment is that this is lawful, legal, commercial, hobbyist, and even law enforcement aircraft activity. Some of it's manned, some of it's unmanned. We absolutely acknowledge that a lot of these are probably drones, but they're flying legally. And it is legal to fly drones in non-restricted airspace as long as you're registered with the FAA. And there's thousands and thousands of these kinds of flights every single day. I think there's more than a million drones that are registered with the FAA just in the United States alone.
Well, you don't believe him, Fred?
Well, John Kirby had to come back this morning and withdraw some of the... He said manned and unmanned drones. There's no such thing as a little man sitting in a drone flying.
Even they are. They're green, Fred.
That's right. Little tiny people.
They're called green men.
Yeah.
That's right.
So he,
oh, Martians.
He had to withdraw that comment. But here's the thing. We now have at least two or three incidents where these drones, whoever's controlling them, has flown these drones over military bases. That is against federal law. And Kirby seems to be just saying, you know, just dismissing that. Well, if you're flying over a military base, they have the authority to shoot these things down. Kirby was asked about this, and he says, well, okay, well, what kind of weapon are we going to use? I don't care what kind of weapon you use. Somebody who has deliberately or accidentally allowed their drone, which some of these drones we've been told are as big as cars, to fly over military bases, the military base should be shooting those down. There should not be any question about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they cannot contact the pilot somewhere on the ground and say, get that vehicle out of here, because they don't know who it is. I'm just very suspicious of the almost cavalier attitude that our federal government has towards this. Back 10 days ago when we first started talking about this, there was a Coast Guard vessel off the coast of New Jersey who said, we had 12 of these things following us. I mean, there's
Is this a nightly occurrence, Ray?
Hmm. Yes, evidently. It has been for weeks. But, okay, guys, so New Jersey, right? So New Jersey. Why New Jersey? Why not further up the coast toward Massachusetts?
Well, Martians Boston. Have always wanted to take New Jersey.
It's the Garden State.
No, I'm just kidding.
or why not Virginia or North Carolina? What's going on?
Yeah. I don't. Well, nobody's been hurt so far, right, that we know of. I mean, there's been no airplanes haven't collided with the drones or anything like that. But now what he's saying is that's all – what do you say? Just they're lawful drones flying around and anyway.
Yep.
So well, you're not buying it though, Fred.
No, we did have an incident where a couple of drones flew into the airspace at Logan Airport in Boston a few days ago. They arrested – two guys there, another guy escaped on a boat. So they did take action at Logan against the operators of the drones.
Okay, if a drone's flying out there, does the law enforcement have the ability to know whose drone it is?
No.
Okay. I just don't know, is a drone, quote, registered? I'm just asking.
The drone is registered. But unlike an airplane that has people on board where you can talk to them, these drones do not. We have no idea where the operators are.
And you know, the pictures, there have been a couple of pictures of drones that were the size of an SUV.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, now, there's not a 16-year-old guy who's going to be able to afford
are you
a drone
serious?
That big.
Big as an SUV?
And Mayorkas said they were coming from convenience stores.
Like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah.
Toot sweet. Meet up, Scotty.
Oh, man. So it's every night. You just go outside with your...
Evidently.
Get outside with your coffee and watch the drone show, huh?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back momentarily. Jenna Ellis will be joining us. Stay with us.
In many ways, abortion was on the ballot this past election, and there's reason for concern. There are many counties, cities, and states who have radicalized abortion, and thousands of tiny babies will continue to lose their lives every day. Which is why the Ministry of Preborn is on the front lines for at-risk babies and mothers with unplanned pregnancies. Preborn sponsors clinics positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country by providing them with the resources they need to rescue babies. Preborn continues to expand their life-affirming care. Their end-of-year goal is to equip 10 more clinics with ultrasound machines. These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most clinics can afford. When a woman meets her baby on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life. And when she comes to a Preborn Network clinic, she will also be embraced with God's love. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and now through a match, your gift is doubled. How many babies can you save? Please donate. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com AFR. That's preborn.com AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back. Excuse me there. Welcome back, everybody, to today's issues. That's the name of this show right here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Fred, Chris, and Ray. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Jenna Ellis joins us now. Jenna is host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning, heard 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time each weekday morning here on American Family Radio. And she's been covering the New Jersey drone story. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. And I can't believe it's been almost 2 years that I have hosted Jenna Ellis in the Morning. It's been really wonderful. So
that's right. You're coming up on your anniversary here, right?
I am.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. So looking forward to the next the next 20, you know, if the Lord tarries.
Had you done any live radio before, hosted your own show before you came on AFR?
I had done a lot of live radio as a guest, but not hosted my own radio show. So I've done the podcast in the past.
Yes, you did podcast before radio.
Yeah, but it's very different. And I love radio. It's actually my favorite medium because you can have deeper conversations. It's live covering news. And as Sandy Rios told me as I took over for her, of course, regular listeners will know she was my predecessor. She told me you're going to end up absolutely loving mornings, and mornings can be beautiful. And I have found that to be absolutely true.
That's my motto in life right there. Mornings are beautiful. That's what don't you, Fred? I get up every day. Fred goes at 3:30 every day.
If he sleeps in.
Hey, that's a good motto. So Jenna, what's all this? Have you talked to anybody who knows for sure what in the world is going on up here with these drones in New Jersey? A just innocent drone?
No, and in fact, I had Representative Tom Tiffany from Wisconsin, and he's in Congress, on my show on Monday morning, and he said that even members of Congress don't know, and they're asking questions of the Biden administration that has not really been forthcoming. And that was actually shocking to me that even members of Congress are not at least getting briefed on this. We know that Representative Van Drew from New Jersey had said, at least according to his interview on Fox, that he was told by sources that he didn't disclose that this was from Iran. But then I had a former intelligence agent, Scott Eulinger, who's a regular on my show on This Morning, and he doesn't obviously know for sure. I don't think anybody, probably not even the Biden administration, knows for sure. But his theory that I actually find very persuasive is that this is kind of one of two things. He thinks that this either is a government testing and training exercise that they can't disclose, that they're kind of far behind in terms of piloting a lot of these drones. We know that we're very far behind in artificial intelligence, some of this other stuff. In fact, the AI intelligence report just dropped. Jim Jordan is going to be joining me tomorrow on that to talk about how crazy that report is for a variety of reasons. But then the other thing that Scott Uhlinger said as well that he thinks may be happening is that this could just be a total psyop, where because of the mass hysteria, because of the interest in this, that the government is sort of conditioning a response to where we are essentially ready to give up some of our rights and liberties in exchange for protections. And we saw that same exact type of psyop during the COVID narrative, and how people were very ready to say, yes, let's have laws that mandate this experimental vaccine, and let's take away some of our medical freedom and privacy issues. And so that's his best guess, and I find that very persuasive.
My wife, Allison, the other day, she had her analysis of this, and she said, well, they better hope they stay in New Jersey. If they come down south, you're going to be shot out of the sky.
They will be. No hesitation.
God bless the Second Amendment. I have to say,
that's what somebody will say after they shoot it. Yeah.
You know, what's just crazy to me is how long this has been going on. What are we on, 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that? And
at least.
It's like a nightly Christmas show. Well, ladies and gentlemen, all right, kids, load up the car. We're going to Sonic, and then we're going out to watch the drone show.
Yeah.
Here out in New Jersey. It just seems crazy to me. But, yeah, I've wondered if it is our own military. Seems like to me that's probably going to leak out. But let's just say it doesn't. Why would you keep doing something over and over again, night after night after night, that's going to draw so much attention and scrutiny and people putting camera? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's why I find Scott's theory about this being a government psyop actually very persuasive, because that would explain why the Biden administration is suggesting, like, you know, we're still reporting, they're being very vague, they're not actually forthcoming with information, nobody knows what's going on, and yet this continues to happen. And Scott was also saying that it's that the drones just leave and they're basically done for the night right at 11 p.m., according to the reports. And to be consistently on that type of schedule, you know, just seems very odd if you're wanting to do something that covert or there's some other explanation.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So, Jenna, the Trump administration is set to come into office, what, middle of when will that take place? You know,
when the new administration.
Yes, when does day one of the new administration start?
Noon on January 20th, and that is per the U.S. Constitution. That is when the peaceful exchange of power happens.
Okay, do you think is there one or two nominees that's been out there in the news that you think may not make it and through the confirmation process, or you think? Including Pete Hegseth, you think they're all going to clear the hurdle?
Well, I hope that they do, because with the Trump mandate that also included the popular vote, by the way, which a lot of the left is very upset about. I mean, it's very clear that the majority of Americans want Trump, want his mandate, want his America First policies. And so he should get the nominees that he selects, including Pete Hegseth. And, you know, and I know him personally from my days at Fox News. And I have to say, you know, he's always been a really stand-up guy, great, you know, great guy as far as my interactions with him. But I think that they're kind of trying, the left and maybe to an extent some of the Republicans, even in the Senate, are kind of trying to Kavanaugh him, because there's a lot of these, you know, he said, she said, vague accusations that are trying to taint his nomination that really have nothing to do with his fitness for the job at hand. Because once it came out that, oh, he's not just a Fox News host, he actually has substantive experience that does qualify him, then immediately they went after the drama and the smut. And so I hope that he clears that nomination, and I hope that the rest do as well. I think Pam Bondi is an excellent nominee for Attorney General. Quite frankly, I'm a lot more excited about her than I was for Matt Gaetz, because I think he would have had some problems with that, as much as he's been a great champion for America First. I think that she has a proven track record as the Florida Attorney General and will sail through, and I think a lot of his nominees will be confirmed.
What about RFK Jr.? Is it Health and Human Services? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Which is a cabinet-level position. You think he'll make it?
I think so, because I wouldn't be surprised if some of the Democrats actually voted for him, potentially thinking that, you know, he may bring in some Democrats and some of their colleagues into HHS, which, you know, is maybe a little bit of a problem for conservatives like us. But I think that there he could kind of play it a little down the middle. And so that may be a potential option. But I hope that he is confirmed, and I hope that he really gets to work on a lot of the things, especially with, you know, the FDA and some of these health things that he's been talking about that America really needs in terms of a reorganization of government regulations.
Fred, then Ray, and then Chris.
Chenna, on somewhat a lighter note, it has been reported in the last 24 hours in Washington that Kamala Harris is considering another run for the presidency in 28. Democrats have not responded.
I got a Scooby-Doo for you right there.
is she a legend in her own mind? Or
I think she absolutely should run, given what we saw in 2024. That would set up best possible conservative to win in yet another landslide. So I am all for it. Democrats, go for it. And set her up to fail again, because they keep, you know, if you've ever watched the movie Mean Girls, which I know is totally a pop culture reference, and there's this one high school girl that keeps saying, "Well, oh, that's so fetch," and everybody's like, "Stop trying to make that happen," and that's what they're doing to Kamala Harris. They're trying, like, stop making trying to make fetch happen with Kamala Harris.
Ray,
Jenna, I want to circle to a crucial question here. Mr. Biden, or somebody in his name, is going nuts with these pardons and commutations. I was looking at a chart showing, you know, the number of pardons and commutations and so on that Mr. Trump gave out, relatively few. Barack Obama did a lot, but I saw the number of 8,000 for Joe Biden. That's astronomical. What's going on? Why is he doing this? Is this not an abuse of the presidential pardon? I know it's relatively unlimited, but what is going on with 8,000 pardons and commutations?
Yeah, I think somebody, maybe it's one of the interns that just, you know, got super happy over there, like, hey, let's just pardon everybody, like Oprah hands out, you know, free cars. I mean, it's literally ridiculous. And the pardons that genuinely bother me the most aren't, you know, some of these nonviolent offenders that were apparently in home detention during COVID or something like that. I mean, you know, if you want to commute some of those sentences, you know, fine. I mean, I don't know why that would necessarily be worth presidential attention, but okay. It's more that I think the volume is trying to dilute the impact of the Hunter Biden pardon and probably what's coming before noon on January 20th, which I personally would not be surprised if Biden pardons himself, which has never happened before in U.S. history. But if he pardons himself, his administration, and news reports are suggesting he's contemplating, or he meaning his handlers, people who were involved in the January 6th committee, people who were involved in the fake Russia collusion hoax against Trump, all of these other people that that genuinely were bad actors in terms of just trying to get Trump or perpetuating the Russia collusion hoax, some of those things, to try to undercut actual justice for the DOJ under a Trump administration. And that's really what would be the most concerning, because pardons should not be political. The purpose of the relatively unlimited power was so that a chief law enforcement officer in the United States in the executive branch, which is the president, is the last full stop if the system goes wrong, if there isn't justice. So, for example, if, you know, someone like a Daniel Penny, who, of course, that was state level, not federal, But if that were in the federal court and a jury had convicted him when clearly it was self-defense, and then the appeals don't happen, he, you know, if he got 20 years or more in prison, I mean, that would be the type of scenario where a president could step in and just say, no, the system has not worked according to justice, and we're going to pardon him. But you're right. It's been absolutely abused.
I still can't wrap my head around how can you pardon somebody who has not even been charged with a crime? I mean, that just seems like a get out of jail card to do any and everything you want to. I mean, that seems odd.
Well, it is, and we should distinguish it, though, that it can't be for anything in the future. So it's okay. Not like saying, you know, hey, I'm going to pardon myself for whatever I might do in the future. So it's giving me a license basically to ignore the law. It does have, it's for conduct in the past. So
but
Hunter,
Biden pardoned his son Hunter for 10 years, right?
Right. In the past. Yeah.
In the past.
January 2014, all the way to December 4th of 2024. And so, yeah, and that was a far extensive, far-reaching pardon that absolutely covered a lot of the Biden crime family allegations, the Burisma situation, all of that. But moving forward, you know, Hunter Biden may want to reconsider, you know, if he's going to take, you know, crack into the White House again, allegedly, which is what I think happened. You know, I mean, if it's something in the future, then the pardon wouldn't cover something.
He better do it pretty quick.
He's got about 30 days.
Maybe a New Year's party. But that's about all he's got left over there. That's just great. All right, Jenna, tell us about the podcast that you're doing now and where people can listen.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's called On Demand with Jenna Ellis, and it's an AFR exclusive. So you can go to AFR.net and you can click on podcasts and then find it there. And it's called On Demand because we are doing a deep dive into the issues and topics that you want to hear more about on demand. Because one of the things that I love about the morning radio drive time is that we are the first show, live show in the morning that we get to cover the topics, the news of the day, but often then we only have, you know, 15 minutes or so to cover some of these stories. So some of the questions and topics, we get to actually do a deep dive with some high-level experts.
Yeah.
We've had members of Congress on. We've had some really good experts. And so this week's episode will come out on Friday, but you can listen to last week's, which was on everything you need to know about the war in Ukraine and that this is not just Biden's war. It was actually amazing to me to learn from the expert that we had on that has a brand new book on this, just how far back the history of this entire conflict goes with our own U.S. government.
Okay. So that's it's at AFR.net, our own website, AFR.net. Just click on Jenna's podcast, Jenna's daily show, but Jenna's podcast, Jenna, what is it again?
It's called On Demand.
On Demand.
With Jenna Ellis.
Okay.
So,
yeah. All right, Jenna, take care. Thank you.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I hope that you guys all get what you want from Santa.
You're going home to Colorado to visit your folks, right?
I am, and I'm really looking forward to it, and I get to see all of my family. My little brother is coming in from Virginia, and we're going to have a great time.
You get to enjoy the romance of a winter Christmas in Colorado. And then after you get tired of that and tired of your family, you fly back to sunny Florida.
It's a great life, right?
And
perfect setup.
That's right. All right. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. So that's Jenna Ellis joining us. Check out her podcast that we just started the last few weeks here on American Family Radio. Okay. So I'm Tim with Fred and Chris and Ray. Go ahead, Chris, with your next story.
Well, you guys were talking with Jenna about how Biden is handing out pardons and commutations like Oprah handed out cars. A judge who helped orchestrate one of the worst judicial scandals in U.S. history, a scheme to send children to for-profit jails in exchange for kickbacks, was among the 1,500 people whose sentences were commuted last week by President Joe Biden. In a story you can find on AFN.net, Biden's decision to commute the 17-year prison sentence of Michael Conahan angered many in northeastern Pennsylvania, including a lady named Sandy Fonzo. Now, Sandy Fonzo's son was sent to jail by this guy, and after his release, her son unfortunately committed suicide. Sandy was on Fox to talk about this very issue, and she said, this judge here, Michael Conahan, he ruined my son's life. Clip 6.
He ruined my son's life, my life. multiple lives. There's so many kids that have lost their life, not just my son. You know, one of the boys that was 8, Charlie, that's actually in the documentary with us and went around and spoke out about this. He has lost his life since. There's so many. There's so many kids that are still struggling. I've helped kids get out that got wrapped up in the system that we're in.
It's inexplicable.
Hold on, stop it. So, okay, explain to me again what the story is with this. So this is a mother of a boy, and how did the judge affect his life?
He sent him to prison. He sent him to a for-profit prison where she said her son just changed emotionally after his time in there. And this,
oh, he's the one that was getting kickbacks.
Yes.
Yes. This is, I've never heard this before. And that's why this judge got a 17-year prison sentence.
How long?
17 years, but Biden is letting him go. This judge, there was actually 2 judges in Pennsylvania. This is where this occurred.
Wait, 1 second. Have you heard about this story, Ray?
Not a word.
Okay, go ahead, Ray. Go ahead, Fred.
All right, what these judges were doing, instead of sending them to a taxpayer-funded jail, there was this jail that was set up for-profit. Private company. These judges started sending their young people would come before them, the juvenile court.
Minors.
In the case of Mrs. Fonzo, her son was sentenced to 8 months in this for-profit prison for simply being at a party where there was alcohol, okay? So here's what happened. When these judges would send these minors to this for-profit prison, the for-profit prison paid a price, whatever they got for housing these young minors, that the judges then got a kickback, and they got more money the longer the sentences were. It's horrible.
Oh, my gosh.
It's absolutely horrible.
Were they state judges? Do you know?
These were juvenile judges.
Where were juvenile in where? What state?
Northeastern Pennsylvania.
Okay, so they were... found out, and then they were these judges were convicted, and they themselves were sent to prison.
That is correct.
And it must have had something to do with federal prison, because otherwise Biden wouldn't have any authority.
Yes,
if it were a state prison in Pennsylvania, it must have been a federal prison.
I guess
prison.
What he did was a federal crime.
Yes.
So you're telling me Biden let the judges, they had a seven.
One of the judges,
one
Michael
of the judges
Connor.
Out?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Has there been any comment from Biden or the White House why he did this?
No.
Okay.
I don't even know that Joe Biden knows.
I mean, on the surface.
Does Joe Biden even know that he did this?
Well, that's a good point.
And I say that not based on his mental faculties and the questions surrounding that, but 1,500 people.
Right.
You know what this sounds like to me? And I don't know anything more about the case than what you've shared, and I did hear something about it yesterday. This sounds like to me, since it's in Pennsylvania, where is it in Pennsylvania?
In the Scranton area.
This sounds like a friend of the family deal. You know what I'm saying? Because Biden himself is from Scranton.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And Pennsylvania we're talking about. And then, of course, the senator from Delaware. It sounds like to me somebody knows somebody who, you know what I'm saying, who's asking a favor. I don't know. That's what it appears to me.
And this mom, Sandy Fonzo, is so upset. I think we can play this cut. She's upset with Joe Biden because she says everybody in Scranton honors Joe Biden because Joe Biden keeps saying, I'm a Scranton guy. And cut number 4, if we can play that.
Joe Biden came here and campaigned multiple times that he was, you know, Joe Scranton. He was one of us. He knew of our struggles, and he cared about our community and our kids and our families. And that is just absolutely not true. He is not one of us. We have an expressway named after him. I have to drive down and look at it every day, the President Biden Expressway and the Biden Street.
Yeah.
I want, that's what I want done. I mean, there needs to be reform of how the overseeing of how these applicants are chosen for these pardons. And what I want to see is his name removed, because that's just, you know, another slap in the face, another injustice on top of all of the grief that everybody in this community has already endured.
You know, that's awful. If, mm-hmm. I mean, So these judges, these two, were there two
there's
of
one,
them?
There's one of the judges that's still in prison. Conahan, sure. I think, was released around COVID period, and he was at home.
But you're playing with people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
These minors, oh, especially, yes. they send them off to, and the longer they stay, the more money these guys got.
Yeah. Ooh. The AP story, the Associated Press, one other factor in this story, Conahan, who was the guy who got the pardon from Biden,
yeah.
was a powerful figure in northeastern Pennsylvania before his arrest, regularly meeting for breakfast with a reputed boss of an area mafia family.
Yeah.
This is the Associated Press reporting that.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we had a story on that.
We did. I have shared that on our Today's Issues Facebook page, the AFN story that we've been talking about, as well as the mother, Sandy Fonzo's TV appearance on Fox and Friends.
Yeah. Hey, Ray, I want to go back to this for just a moment. Do you think that RFK Jr. will be confirmed by the Senate?
You know, they're going to quiz him hard on this vaccine stuff, and they should, right? Because he has said, let's say generously, he has said a lot of things. He has been out there on the vaccine issue. I mean, way before COVID, he was out there. So they're gonna ask him. I think his name helps. I think the fact that if he comes back and says, I'm not anti-vaccine, but I'm skeptical about certain things the government has done, and I'm certainly against the mandates that happened during COVID, if he gives solid answers, I think he'll be confirmed.
Yeah, you know what may come to be a problem for him or may not, he's a smart guy. He's very articulate. But when you've been dealing with one issue as long as he has, by that I mean the vaccine issue.
Right.
He said a lot of things over the last, two decades probably. So you know, those senators, especially the Democrats, are going to go, hey, in 1998, you said this on the Joe Blow show in Boston. Mm-hmm. What did you mean? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So he's going to have a long, you know, he, like I said, he's a smart guy, so maybe he can handle himself.
I think his response is going to be, my focus is going to be on the additives to food, sort of thing.
Right.
That's where he's going to say, that's where I'm going to spend my time.
Yeah.
Not on vaccines necessarily.
Yeah, and I think President Trump told him to basically stay in your lane.
Yes.
If you're going to work for me. And RFK is smart enough to know, RFK Jr., smart enough to know, he needs to stay in his lane.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Because he is, RFK Jr. is good on some issues from a conservative point of view, and on other issues, he's not.
No.
So he needs to, you know, stick with what he knows.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting to see him spar.
Oh, yes.
Huh?
He doesn't back down.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. We will be back with more of Today's Issues on American Family Radio in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.